There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySgirls through December 31. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clawfist. All at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/AndySgirls or enter code AndySgirls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code AndySgirls or going to cookunity.com/AndySgirls. My skin is smooth and my summer, it's bumpy AF.
I may not be comedian funny or housewives rich, but I'll drag your ass if you subpoena the wrong bitch.
I knew it was gonna be bitch and I was so excited. I was literally, can we take a moment? How has she not put that shit on merch? Like, how has that not happened?
Well, before Bravo does, because you know they're already on top of it.
You know they are, honestly. And I believe that Marge's merch would be kind of cute and zesty. She had a couple one-liners. I might even, if I was her, do a line of, you know, you're not getting season 15 anytime soon, so here's some merch, and have one of them be like literally an illustration of the bouquet floral arrangement with the card. Like, I would take some creative liberty. She could really do something with this.
If anyone could do it, it would be the Marge.
It would be the Marge. And listen, you guys, this would be AndySgirls episode 570-something. And I'm so excited to have back one of my favorite return guests. You know her as the co-host of Daily Blast Live, NAACP award-nominated host of Come Back with Erica Cobb, a podcast and social media show, and host of the upcoming Comeback TV Presents Daytime Talk After Dark on 8:22 with Moment. Tickets available now. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Erica Cobb. Erica, how are we?
I'm so good, Dame. Thanks for having me.
We're just kind of beaming at each other. We did a little shit talk before the show, which is one of my absolute favorite things to do. And I absolutely started a story by saying, I really shouldn't even tell you this because it's just so long. And then I started it and I was like, it's going to be longer than I remembered. And I just didn't stop. So there we are. How are you doing? You look phenomenal in your, you know, super professional, high def studio. You have a literal studio. My goodness. How are we doing, queen of everything, light of my life?
Well, first of all, comeback studios only come second to the Clawfis. I mean, come on. Who doesn't love the Clawfis? You host people in your Clawfis. I don't host anyone in Comeback Studios other than virtually, you know, so there's virtual hosting going on. I am great. I am, you know, just taking what life has for me. I'm doing the 9 lemons in the bowl and making lemonade. I'm wearing my yellow. It's good. It's good.
When life hands you lemons, throw a worldwide digital experience with Moment.
Exactly.
In a bowl. Boom. There we go. Done and done.
Exactly.
So listen, how has your summer been so far? Like, how are we doing? Have we taken any trips? Are we doing what seemingly every other person is doing on Instagram? Everybody's gone. Everybody's like away living their best lives. It's very rude. It's actually selfish for them to do that and not have me with them.
Well, God bless them for it. I have not really had any time to do anything. I didn't anticipate doing two live shows in this summer. Generally, I do one big live show, like a big one, because I have a live studio audience as well. A year, I did my live show with Karamo in June. And then it was announced that my daytime talk show that I've been on for the past 7 seasons is sunsetting on September 6th. So Daily Blast Live is going away. And then I was like, hey, I have my production company. No one was really sure about what was going to happen. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and produce this show, Daytime Talk After Dark, to make sure that we have like a moment to really, no pun intended, to really talk about everything and give our audience an opportunity to ask us the questions that they've always wanted to ask us. And it kind of gave us as the hosts more autonomy over the situation. So lucky for me, I have great content creator friends like yourself to guide me in the right direction. So we're doing a live show with a live studio audience, but we're opening it up to a virtual audience. And I'm super excited about that. That's pretty much consumed my entire summer. So I'm looking forward to maybe like a holiday in the fall.
We love a fall holiday, honestly. Yeah. It's actually a good time because I feel like then it's kind of like, you know, when you get an unexpected day off from school where it feels like you're cheating a little bit, but you're not. You're not cheating the system. You're actually being maybe more strategic because if you do a little holiday in the fall, temps are probably going to be a little bit more beneficial on your side as well as pricing.
I love that. I love that. So fingers crossed that works out for me.
Listen, you're giving shoulders all the better for a shoulder season. Is that what they call it? Shoulder seasons when you travel. It's like the shoulder. I don't know why they call it that, but I just know it as shoulder season. I always travel during shoulder season. It's like before things hit. You want to get in there. You want to like do your little journey. The temps are a little bit lower. The pricing is a little bit lower. Hotels and stuff are maybe more available. We love that. We love a moment. We love a moment online.
Yes, we do.
And then a digital experience. Mm-hmm. And then we also love a little bit of a travel moment as well. So there we are.
Yeah, I'm all good. If it's a shoulder season, just as long as it's not like a shove it up your season, because I looked at my husband, like, was like, oh, well, maybe for, is it Labor Day that's coming up? What's happening?
One of them.
He's Canadian. He's like, what about September long weekend? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I started looking at stuff September long weekend. I'm like, hell no. I don't care. I am not paying those types of prices when I know how much these things go for. I won't even be able to enjoy myself paying 2 to 3 times the amount because it's September long weekend. Screw that. I will wait.
I didn't know that pricing went up that much for labor, whichever day it is. That's a lot. That's a big jump.
Yeah, we were trying. He's like, well, we could just go into Mexico for a few days. I was like, okay, but why do the prices look like this? I'm like, no bueno.
Speaking of trips to Mexico, that actually reminds me of something that Shannon said on the most recent episode. And I was like, what's up? That because she had a DUI, she can't travel to Mexico for a literal decade. Is that because it's DUI specific or a crime? Or I was shocked by that.
I thought she said 2 years. Did she say a decade?
I thought she said a decade, but you know what? Honestly, now that I say that out loud, that sounds actually nuts. I'm just going to do a quick Google Mexico travel after crime. Is that? I feel like that's probably not. That's going to give me something I don't need. If you've been convicted of a serious crime, Mexican authorities may deny you entry to the country, but it doesn't say for the length of time. How interesting. Is a DUI a felony? It has to be, right?
I would imagine hers would be because she hit a house. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, it's more difficult to enter Mexico with the DUI conviction than the United States. Mexican border agents will look back 10 years in your record for any DUIs, and they can deny entry if you violate a domestic law such as drunk driving. In Mexico, drunk driving convictions are considered indictable offenses, which are similar to felonies in Canada. Immigration officers in Mexico may allow entry for a past misdemeanor DUI, but are more likely to prevent entry for a felony DUI. The International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, can also help Mexican immigration officers learn about prior DUI convictions in the United States. So it's not that she's prohibited from travel for a decade, which I'm pretty sure is how she phrased it. It's that you don't want it on your record. Well, technically ever, but you don't want it on your record per Mexico within the last 10 years.
It was surprising to me as well. I knew that for a long time, I'm not sure if this is still the case, but Canada was very strict about it. So strict that when my husband and I first started dating, he asked me, like, have you ever? Because it would have hindered, you know, like he doesn't want, and he also has like, now we both have Nexus, but at the time he had Nexus and he was just like, hey, just curious because people get stopped a lot. And so, yeah, I knew for Canada, it was like a thing. I didn't know it was a thing for Mexico. Luckily, I didn't have an issue and I've never had a DUI. I hardly drive. So and I hardly drive. So I'm certainly not going to drive drunk like ever. Yeah.
Wait, I feel like that's kind of rude to ask if you've ever like been arrested or whatever. Is that weird? I feel like that's impolite, but that's actually psychotic of me to say that out loud. Of course, it's appropriate for someone to ask if you have a record, but I would be like, excuse me. And I've never been anything, or like what your number, Yeah. Absolutely not. None of your business. Keep it moving. But of course. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's his business.
I guess. Because also we were driving to Canada and this was like months into us dating. So he was just like, hey, like almost like no judgment, but might want to have to know this before we drive all the way to the border. Like, okay. Yeah.
Okay, the context, absolutely, it was appropriate for him to ask. I take it back. Normalize changing your mind based on new information. Also, update on info. Shannon was charged with misdemeanor, hit and run, and UI. And as a part of that, was sentenced to 3 years probation. So misdemeanor. And also, just so that we're caught up on all things Mexico, and if you're traveling, having committed a crime, a law firm based out of Somersville says Mexico does not generally ask about criminal history for tourist visits. So having a DUI should not prevent you from entering the country as a tourist, though the law technically bars anyone with a felony DUI conviction within 10 years from entering the country. Most
those people who are denied entry, I don't know, don't watch The Real Housewives. I mean, it's just, it's fascinating because when she said a decade, I was like, oh shit. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, a part of me is like, good for Mexico, but like also like that's intense.
Yeah. Well, and then also intense for her. I'm sure she knew that right away because she was probably trying to like escape to Mexico after this happened. I mean, that's what I would be trying to do. Like, you got to get the hell out of Orange County. Like, it's like 4x4. What are you doing?
I mean, I don't know that dining at Andalais grants you refugee status, but I have to say that for anyone on the Real Housewives of Orange County, they do build so much of their trips around Mexico because mm-hmm. Mexico is like literally the best. And there's so many different places in Mexico to vacation that actually kind of is a big deal for production.
Oh, for sure. I mean, for sure. First of all, Mexico is great anyway, but my husband and I will go. Like, we'll just go to Mexico for a quick trip because you can get in and out so fast and be at the beach and like have all the things. And, you know, it's just so easy. So the idea of like having any kind of hindrance to go to Mexico just feels like I've had a hindrance to go to Mexico for the past 2 years mm-hmm. because of my IVF journey. Like, they don't want you to go to Mexico or any place that has a history of Zika, although Zika was like almost a decade ago. So I haven't been able to go to Mexico. So I was super excited to go to Mexico because I'm like, please let me go.
Do you know how different we are? Do you remember when we were hit with like Zika virus was like crazy, crazy, crazy a couple years mm-hmm. ago? That's when in like Miami, it was like super bad. That's when I went to Miami because I was like, I'm going to get a better discount. So I went at the absolute first time. Had a great trip, by the way. Couldn't more. I was able to afford where Jill Zarin stayed. And they literally were like, would you like essentially an apartment building on your own? Like, they upgraded me, which I didn't understand what was happening. And they offered me this insane hotel room that was like essentially like a house. And I turned it down like an idiot. Like, I remember the person at the desk looked at me like, are you insane? And I said, absolutely, I am. Because it didn't have a balcony. And I'm one of those fucking idiots who like, I need the balcony. I would much rather a lower grade room because I need the balcony, which I'll never use.
Yeah.
But I just need to know it's there. And then it clicked for me after the fact. No, babe, like you just turned down like one of those bajillion whatever spaces that would have been, I know, like rock star level, and had a great trip and had, you know, like my, you know, I don't remember what I took as far as precautions, but like it was, you know, things happen. So yeah, maybe don't go to a place where Zika is happening if we are in the middle of a fertility journey.
Well, and it's not even that. I mean, because people are going to be like, Zika doesn't exist anymore. And I mean, I don't know if it does. It doesn't. I'm sure it does in some capacity. I mean, it has. I know it just didn't go away. It's just not like this huge, you know, thing anymore. But they tell you to take every precaution. And that was one of the precautions, was like, can't go anywhere that Zika's ever existed because obviously it affected pregnant women, I guess, the most. So, yeah.
I'm really, just to any scientists who might be listening, I'm so sorry to, oh, and you know what? I Googled, did Zika still exist? But I accidentally typed Zima. So Zima apparently does exist in like two countries. Okay, so yes, the Zika virus, where are we? What are we talking about? The Zika virus is still a risk in many countries around the world, including Mexico, Central and South America, the Caribbean, and some areas of the continental United States. All those places I highly recommend people visit. We love a travel journey.
So any place with a beach, essentially, like in humid conditions, could potentially have Zika.
Yeah, and I'm seeing another thing on the Cleveland Clinic. The last cases of Zika transmission were reported in Florida and Texas in 2017. So I went to Florida in 2017 so that I could afford to stay at the one in South Beach. And it was a wonderful trip. It was a wonderful trip. listen, you know, we got through some of our legalities. We got through some of our science and we did a bang up job. So how are we feeling about Shan as a whole? Like, what has your Orange County viewing experience been like?
Oh my gosh. Shannon is a rough case, and I know how you stand for Shan. You know, I've been, it's interesting because I am very much team. There is absolutely no reason to drive drunk ever. So I tend to not have a lot of sympathy for a decision like that. But the way that the season is going is such a dog pile on top of her that you can't help but feel some type of sympathy for her. Like, if I'm just thinking, in any other situation, clearly she did this herself, so she has to take responsibility. But she's still clearly going through something, and there's like an emotional toll. Anytime someone says, I wake up every morning thinking about this, I think about things that I've regretted in my life and how it's so consuming, because if you really regret it and you have some form of contrition, you do go to bed thinking about it and you wake up thinking about it. And I can't imagine having everyone in my circle, or at least the television circle, dogpiling on me during that time. It's enough to break someone. And Shannon's pretty fragile as it is. So I feel like people need to kind of take a step back. Like Alexis Bellino, who I don't even remember. Like, I don't remember really anything about this woman. But her single white female situation is creepy. Have you noticed even her mannerisms are like Shannon's? That, like, putting the four fingers and moving them around like frantically in the air. She's been doing that. Like, she sounds like she's emulating Shannon. Obviously, there's all the things with the boyfriend, the dog, like all of these things. It is creepy upon creepy upon creepy. And I was going to call her Tamar. Tamara, not Tamar. Tamar's going through it herself. Tamara is just like so over the top. It's like, sis, I understand and I don't disagree with her. It would have been in very bad taste and form to go on the Trace Amigas thing after Shannon's DUI. But what you're doing now by just sitting at a table calling this woman an alcoholic over and over again, it's just too much. Like, it is too much. Now I feel bad for Shannon.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/AndySquirrels today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AndySquirrels. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With eight essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Well, and also she's using alcoholic as a pejorative of like, you're an alcoholic as like, you're using that as an insult. Like that's incredibly inappropriate and dangerous and disingenuous. Like having any kind of struggle with addiction does not make you a bad person. I think that's like, honestly, the first chapter in the book of humanity. I think most people understand that. And if you have to go to like the absolute lowest of the low in order to make your mark, it's just so ugly and uneducated, and it's just so fucking dumb. But like dumb isn't fair because it's obviously loaded. It carries a lot of weight, but it just shows for someone who's trying to say that Shannon is weak, it shows, which again is loaded and problematic. It shows just such a weakness in Tamara's character as well as her judgment. I would just watch that. If I was someone who was in recovery, I would just watch that and think like, truly go fuck yourself, because it's hard to say that you are genuinely concerned with this woman's relationship with alcohol when you're saying if you have a relationship with alcohol, that's open for mockery.
Right.
It's really flawed, I think, no matter how you view it.
It also kind of screams she who projects too much, because I just saw this. I saw this on Instagram. It was Mel Robbins, speaker, like, I don't know what her exact title is, but you see her speaking, you know,
motivational, truth to power a lot. Books, podcasts.
Yeah. And she was talking. I thought it was so interesting because she talked about when her husband quit drinking. And she hadn't stopped drinking and she wanted to have a glass of wine. And she was asking him if he wanted a glass of wine. And then he was like, no, I'm not drinking. And she made a comment about like, well, I didn't want to have one and not offer in case you wanted one. And he said something to the effect of, if you're so worried about what's in my glass relative to your glass, then maybe that's a conversation that you need to have with yourself. And I thought it was very interesting because that's what happens a lot of times when people are in interpersonal relationships and someone changes their relationship with alcohol or any substance, then it makes other people sometimes reflect on themselves, you know, is this something that I need to look at myself? Or is this a reflection by them changing their habits, or however you want to phrase it? Is this a reflection on something that I need to be thinking about myself? And a lot of people become very, very just self-conscious about it. And I've seen it on both sides because I used to do fitness competitions and I would stop drinking for, you know, 8-9 months a year. And my friend groups would change because of it, because people were like very uncomfortable with the idea of me. I would still go out and I would go to nightclubs. I would dance. I would do all the things. I just wasn't drinking. And it made people very uncomfortable. And I was othered. So I can understand this conversation from that respect as well, because people get weird about it.
And you know what? It's kind of fascinating to watch all of this play out, because when you think of Tamra's objection to continuing the Tres Amigas and think about where the show is now, it's kind of like we're skipping ahead. It's all or nothing. Either I continue with the show and they do exactly the same material they were doing prior, or I quit. But and I don't know how much of the change in the show, because I went to the show when they were in New York. I saw it. It was a lot of fun. I laughed a lot. They did a great job. And it certainly had no basis in like joking about binge drinking or anything else, which I'm sure was at the heart of the show prior. I wonder if the show would have changed if Tamra had stayed with it, but I assume that it would have. So I'm just thinking to myself, was there an in-between here? If you're saying that you quit specifically because you did not want to participate in an environment where drunkenness is used as a punchline and one of the people participating in the show, one of the faces of the show, was just publicly arrested for a DUI, I completely understand that. But was there ever a conversation of like, can we change the format of the show and some of the material? Like, why did we skip to so I can't be involved and now you're dead to me stuff?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to come across as a total flip-flopper, but I do think this is a very nuanced conversation, because what I'm hearing from Tamra is that she has dealt with Shannon being erratic and inebriated and very needy for quite some time. And this was her rock bottom. And what Tamra is saying is that she has seen her drink and drink undercover, so to speak. And she feels like she's not listening to her rock bottom. And because they have a business relationship, which means that there's money involved, I can't be mad at Tamra for making a line in the sand and saying, you hit rock bottom. You obviously are in a lot of trouble. This wasn't enough to make you think that things need to change for me. I can't go down on this ship with you. And saving herself and just saying, I need to cut ties, because I feel like those are very healthy boundaries. What's unhealthy about it is going in front of groups of your friends and all of the television viewing audience and going on and on about how this person has a substance abuse problem. So I think two things can be true. Tamara could be right by setting a healthy boundary and saying, this is where I draw the line. I wish you guys the best, but I'm not going to be a part of it anymore. But she also could have drawn a line and a boundary by not discussing it the way that she's discussing Shannon in front of everyone on television.
100%. And I also feel like a part of this is the fact that it was approached at the level of like, this is purely a business decision, but obviously there are other factors here. So like, have a conversation with your friend, like do the uncomfortable thing that you need to do, because it's not just that you guys are colleagues. You had some sort of level of intimate friendship to the extent that we are being led to believe that Tamara genuinely considered not filming Traitors because she wanted to be there to support Shan. Something that I give tremendous side eye to. I think she maybe was like, I wish I could be there to be in bed and watch TV with you, but not anything on Peacock because it would remind me of the show I declined last minute. No, I don't think that that was, I think that's one of those things of like, you say like, oh, I would leave this yada yada for you, my love. And that's the ultimate joke is that most people don't. So there are elements here of like a little bit of confusion. Tamara's such a good friend that she would quit filming and picking up a mighty great check for a, you know, highly rated Peacock show because she wants to snuggle with Shannon in bed and comfort her dear friend, which is great in theory, but not so close that she couldn't pick up the phone and at least tell her friend, I'm not doing the tour anymore, and here's why.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like none of these women are really friends to anyone.
I hear you.
I think the friends come with so many qualifiers, and you see it when someone is demoted or when they're no longer asked back to the show. I mean, what happened when Tamara left the show? Then she says that Shannon stopped speaking with her. I find it very difficult to believe that Tamara was going to say no to Traitors in order to be there for Shannon. And honestly, I feel like that would have been a mistake on Tamara's end. Because at the end of the day, if you have these relationships that are constantly ebbing and flowing based on opportunity and status, then you can't stop your bag, which is why I'm in defense of Tamara for making the move that she made. If she made that move, she may not have gone to Shannon and said, hey, I'm not going to do the show. But somehow that was communicated. And if she made the decision that she was going to make some serious boundaries and not do the show because it was bad for her image and it was bad for her like revenue, then at that point, that's a business decision. And you made the mistake. And I can't go down. Like, that's how I am. Like, I'm not going down with this ship, especially when there's been so many opportunities for me to try to help you correct the behavior, be there for you in your time of need. And now you're, because sometimes this is, I've talked about toxic spirals on this platform before. And the truth is, I've been in a toxic spiral. I've known a lot of people to go through toxic spirals, and it doesn't just affect that person. It's like a tornado that takes everyone down. And until you're ready to be like, hey, I need help, I surrender, then you are a liability. So I can't really be mad at Tamara for making that decision.
But she just doesn't need to be so cruel about it. And
I agree with that. Now that's just team too much. Yeah.
Right. And how long is she going to blame Shannon for deciding to be her friend? At a certain extent, if you did not want to be in this friendship and you continued being in it, that's on you. Like, I'm not saying that Shannon doesn't deserve responsibility for not being supportive of her, not like asking, and how are you doing tonight? Like doing all of these things, you know, calling her late at night, not remembering it the next day, and then expecting her to
keep confidences regardless. There's a lot there for a person to potentially be upset about if that person was Tamara. But also, if you made the decision to continue being friends with this woman, ultimately, to be mad at her for that, for you continuing to be her friend, I just think it's, I don't entirely understand that math. I think some of this, speaking of projection, some of this is, I think, maybe a little bit possibly Tamara's frustration with herself. And maybe she feels like she's just making up for lost time. Like, well, I wasn't a dick to you before, so now I'm going to be 10 times as much because you made the mistake of, I don't know what. Like, I really genuinely don't know what. But obviously, there's a level of anger or rage here that Tamara has for Shannon that to me is not related to the drinking, but it's being tunneled through the drinking.
I'm really trying to, like, I feel like a part of me sees both sides, and I feel like a part of me has been on both sides of the equation. My feeling about a lot of Tamara's angst, like, for me, I always say, don't mess with my money. Messing with my money is like messing with my emotions. Like, you will see a side of me that is very, very different. Like, it's a very reserved side. It doesn't come out very often. It comes out during, like, hardcore betrayal. It comes out with, you're messing with my coins. And my thought is, there was so much, because we just heard about the show, the Trace Amigas show, through the lens of Vicky and Shannon. We haven't really heard that business side through the lens of Tamara. So if they're saying we had all of this money tied up in marketing and promotions and ticket sales and all of these things, then that also bodes true for Tamara, who has made a decision that she can't afford, because I'm sure it's not just a personal thing. I'm sure that she has people who she has to pay percentages to, and people in her life who are like, dude, you can't go on a tour that's all about drinking and, you know, having shots and getting effed up with this woman who just crashed into a house. So she may have had to make some tough decisions on her end as a business person, which means that she lost a lot of revenue and all that time and consideration as well. So what we might be seeing might have something to do with the idea of, girl, all this time you've been messing up, you know, getting in between, causing issues with my husband because I'm always there for you, and now you're causing issues with my bag? Like, nah, we got to cut ties.
Yeah, and I'm sure for Tamara, she's thinking of her reputation. And I understand that she does not want to be in business with someone who's possibly engaging or promoting unsafe health practices, which is why she co-hosts her podcast with Teddy Joe. So I could certainly understand Tamara's perspective, that she certainly does not want to go into business, nay, not on a weekly podcast or maybe even semi-weekly podcast. She would want to make sure that that person that she speaks with is certainly on the moral up and up. And I praise her for that consistency in character.
Dame, I'm hearing that there's some sarcasm in your voice.
Is there? And, is that what that is?
But it really does. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It does go to show you the hierarchy when it comes to what's considered, like, healthy and what's considered, like, going overboard. We don't have, now we talk about it, you know, in terms of, like, the toxicity of bro science or, you know, the eating disorder culture. But we never really, I still feel like as a whole, we still endorse the idea of a lot of things that Teddy says, because the appearance of health, and I know that you've gone down this about a month or so, or a few weeks ago with another guest, but when it comes to people who have other types of addictions like alcohol, not saying that Shannon's addicted addicted to alcohol, but that's what the indictment is from Tamara, then that's considered like this is your fault. You know, it's considered dark, whereas the other side isn't. So I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But I'm just thinking Teddy also has a brand with Tamara that is successful and they're making money. And at the end of the day, Tamara went without for quite some time. So now that she's back on the upswing, she's counting all of her coins. And I think that's a part of the angst with Shannon as well.
100%. And I also wonder for Tamara, you know, she is on the up and it has to be slightly destabilizing at points because you got fired very publicly. God bless Tamara for actually saying I got fired, because so many people, and they have every right, that's like the last thing, that last favor that you get is that the network allows you to say, and doesn't usually counter with I left of my own volition, I'm spending more time with my family, and P.S. getting a divorce. Like that's the thing that like the network will allow after essentially firing or not renewing your contract, however you want to look at it. So Tamara had a tough last couple seasons on the show. She gets fired. Then turns out we're in the era of like dark, depressing Orange County, like a series of unfortunate casting decisions and then just things happening in history, COVID, that are not within the control of the network, but certainly not helped by having a pretty bad cast. And now she's back and we're so happy that she's back. A lot of us are really, really happy that she's back. But I wonder, I think that there was the hope maybe from some of us that we would be getting a more mid-generation Tamara than the Tamara we saw right before she left. Because I'm seeing just small little glimpses of like the woman who just did absolutely too much and pushed it past the brink. And I was hoping maybe for a little bit of a different Tam. But I say that noting I am very happy she's on the show. I'm not saying I don't want Tamara to be here anymore. I just wish that, you know, for someone who I think is more even keeled in her life, who has talked about the benefit of being off the show and how it helped her be more grounded again, she didn't need the cameras. I wish I saw a little bit more of that energy during some of these scenes.
Yeah.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about the wedding planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin. serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new JLo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's deluxe kit. The one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with JLo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
There was a point at Gina's dinner where it seemed like someone, I can't remember who it was, but someone said something to Tamara and it just like for a second you saw a glimpse of her like calm down. And so it makes you think, how much is this where she's looking around, she's taking the temperature in the room and thinking, we need to kick this up a notch. And then she kind of goes off, because that's what I felt like I was seeing, like her taking it up a notch. And to be honest, it goes towards Shannon, because you get a DUI in a lot of circles, people feel like that's free game to come for you. Because it's one of the most preventable, you know, crimes that you can commit. And so by her doing that, it just felt like, until someone tells her like, hey, okay, why don't you just calm down a little? She'll just keep escalating until someone kind of calms her down. And I felt like that's what we saw towards the end at the dinner.
Who's the she? Someone escalating? Is that Tamara?
Yeah, until someone tells Tamara to calm down. And I felt like it wasn't Emily. Was it Heather? Someone, I can't remember, but towards the end, someone actually said something to Tamara. Like that exchange, you could just see like a slight, like the, just a decompression. And I feel like maybe that's what's happening, is she like goes all, you know, crazy until someone's like, okay, and scene.
Yeah. I don't remember who said stuff in the moment at the dinner. Obviously, Vicky had some thoughts toward the tail end. I think Emily and Gina, who've certainly both spoken up in real time on confessionals, yes, but also in real time in doing press interviews, have said, you know, that they've been really supportive of Shannon and they've really seen her growth, which I think
means a lot coming from them, especially when you know their history with Shannon. I think that tells you an awful lot about like the work in progress Shannon has made. And I wouldn't be surprised if they either or both of them said something at the table, because I do think that there was an understanding that like this is just too much at a certain point. It really did kind of cross over into something else. And we also know by the trailer for the season that obviously there is a breakdown moment that Shannon has. I don't know if it's relating to this or Alexis or a combination of the two, but it certainly looks like we're gearing toward the moment that maybe Tamara is looking for, which is just Shannon at a point of absolute frustration, I don't know, panic, whatever else, where she's breaking down. I mean, I think that's what Tamara was looking for. She wasn't looking for someone to acknowledge a relationship with alcohol in agreement with Tamara's outsider view. I think Tamara was looking for Shannon to explode, and Shannon did not give that to her.
Yeah, I think that they have to be very careful, because this can turn very dark very fast. Like, for someone to even make a decision like that, that is, from what we're being told, is out of character. We've heard her. We know how she treated Gina. Gina has been the epitome of grace. Like, that really shows you, like, how grace is done. Because I don't know if I would have had that type of grace for a Shannon after she dragged me for seasons over the mistake that I made. But Gina is demonstrating that, and it seems very genuine. But for someone to be in a situation like that, the way that it happened, that whole toxic relationship, all of that, to me, spells person on the brink. And I don't know if I want to see someone tip them over on television. Like, I don't know if that's entertainment. I don't feel like that's entertainment. Because if Shannon is suffering from the addiction that you're accusing her of suffering from, then the idea that you're going to push her over and that's going to be for our entertainment is very flawed logic.
Yeah, and if you're going off of Tamara's, again, outside speculation, how do you expect this woman to cope? You're using all of the world's worst weapons when it comes to, I think, people in life, which is to harness and relish in shame. I just think that's like one of the absolute worst things that a person can do when they're trying to, I guess, seek revenge or want to make someone as small as humanly possible to really try to exacerbate weaknesses and embarrass them, humiliate them, publicly ridicule them, mock them. That's like, I don't know. This is some like third grade shit. Like, I don't even want to disrespect third graders. This is like some like fucking like just straight out of the womb, you know, don't be a dick. Like, just, it's a level of like, I don't even know. There's some big words I could use that I don't want to, because it will make it sound more grandiose than honestly what I mean. It's just, it's not great. It's not great. But also, Orange County is really lucky that there's a lot of other stuff happening.
Yeah.
And I'm really, it's, you know, including this conversation, which is important. There's just like a lot of light that's going on, mm-hmm. which you contrast with New Jersey and what we just allegedly technically watched last night. And it is quite a big difference to unpack.
Yeah.
God help me, this looks like a two-parter, so it's gonna be one of those kinds of weeks. Just AGs, there's a lot to discuss. So let's head on over to part two, available now.